the clean and unclean today on YavaYahweh.name, the clean and unclean. Also, a few comments about marriage and defrauding. And we'll talk about Hanukkah somewhat. We'll talk about the winter pagan holidays. And we're going to go to 1 John chapter 5 here for just a moment about the feast days. We keep Yahweh's feasts because we love Him. And it says in 1 John 5, "For this is the love of Yah, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of Yah overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that the Messiah is the Son of Yah, that Yahusha is the Son of Yah? This is he that came by water and blood, even Yahusha HaMashiach, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth." He also says, "Thy word is truth," in another place in Scripture. And then in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, we get encouragement here from the Apostle Paul. And I'm reading from the King James, and just when I come to a corrupted word, then I change that. We can transpose these things as we read along. We don't have to go out and buy another whole new Scripture version. If we can just transpose that mentally as we read. So it says here in Philippians 3:3, "Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than ourselves." So we're not to have high self-esteem of ourselves, but let each esteem others better than ourselves. "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." In other words, to be concerned for our neighbor in the assembly. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Yahusha HaMashiach, who being in the form of Yah, thought it not robbery to be equal with Yah. He made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross or the tree." So he humbled himself. That's what we need to do also, and to trust in Messiah, in his death. Trust in Yahusha Messiah. "Wherefore Yah also has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Yahusha every knee shall bow of things of heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Yahusha HaMashiach is," it says here, "Lord," so normally we change that to Yahweh in the older scriptures there. "They'll confess is Yahweh to the esteem of Yahweh the Father," or Yah the Father. "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence, but also in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is Yah which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of Yah, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." He doesn't have anything too high to speak of about our culture that surrounds us. He says, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. 16, "holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Messiah, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." Such a powerful chapter there. Philippians. Oh, that was, sorry about that. That was chapter 2. I'm still getting to even the better part in my opinion anyway. Philippians chapter 3. And it says in verse 7, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Messiah. Yet doubtless, and I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Yahusha, my master. For though I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Messiah." So the things he has lost, he counts as dung. He's not counting, as one preacher here, we might sneak in a few words from Pastor Phil there. He says that the law was dung, that Paul was saying the law was dung. No, if we look at Psalm 19, it's Romans 7, Paul esteems the law. I delight in the law of Yahweh after the inward man, according to the apostle or emissary Shaul. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Messiah, the righteousness which is of Yah by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And then I want to go to verse 14. This is not only for athletes, but for couch potatoes. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Yahweh in Yahusha HaMashiach. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And 16, nevertheless, we have already attained hereto. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. So there is a standard that we walk by. We don't have all kinds of confusing different standards, always changing from time to time or from country to country. Let us walk by the same rule. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the salvation of, it says here, the cross. So I might have liberty here to use the word salvation of Yahusha, whose end is destruction, whose God, or whose Elohim is their belly, and whose glory is their shame. And they mind earthly things. Are we only concerned, especially during the pagan holidays, of what am I going to get? That covetousness that is stirred up by the evil pagan holidays? Or is our mind upon heavenly things? He says in verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. How about that? I thought I was a part of, lived in the Northwest, but it says, no, I'm living with you in heaven and with the Messiah, from whence also we look in the Savior, Yahweh, Yahusha, HaMashiach, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his esteemable body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in Yah always, and again I say rejoice, or rejoice in Yahweh always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Yahweh is at hand. Be careful for nothing, or another way of saying that is, I'm sorry, I can't find my footnote there. The old eyesight there going, but be anxious for nothing might be another way. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto Yah. Now I make many requests, but I'm just thankful that He gave me what He did: the fresh air, sunshine, good health, just really good health. So I thank Him for that. And the peace of Yah, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Yahusha HaMashiach. And 13, I can do all things through Messiah, which strengtheneth me. I can do all things that are good, that is. A little later on, we'll be going into Isaiah chapter 11. I'd like to go into some of the culinary things now, into what we can eat. It looks like a pantry here around the Stefan Yah studio today. I've got three or four cans of food here and some boxes and things. I want to just read some labels for you. Amy's Hearty Organic Soups. Now, I don't see a kosher label on that, but it says it's organic. So, actually, there is a parve, a K and a parve. Probably is legitimate. Amy's organic soups, and then the ingredients here. The first one listed is the one that's has the most percentage on the ingredient label. Ingredients: vegan, filtered water. Next, so the second priority here in this can is organic tomatoes, organic onions, bell peppers, organic zucchini, garbanzo, kale, organic mushrooms, organic brown rice. Everything's organic. Extra virgin olive oil, garlic, sea salt, organic spices, basil, and black pepper is the last ingredient listed, which is the least amount in this can here. The first one mentioned again has the most of that ingredient, which was water, or filtered water. Now let's roll this can away from the microphone there. There we go. Here's one called carrots. It's more of a generic thing, and this is kosher. I picked this up at some discount store, so it would be, to some people, questionable because it's not, quote, name brand, but I don't go by that. Lakeside Foods, it says sliced carrots. What are the ingredients in here? It says carrots, that's the first ingredient. Second, water, salt, and calcium chloride. So that's a good can of food there to eat. I think even better than that, though, would be frozen carrots. Well, even better than that would be fresh carrots, if you can get those, which I do. So I should be thankful for that, too. Praise Yah for all the fresh food. Here's another one, La Torre, or T-O-R-R-E, of refried black beans. And the ingredients here are, you know, about the same as it says, vitamin A and all that. Ingredients down at the bottom. Cooked black beans, water, salt, soybean oil, less than 2% of onion powder and garlic powder. And then it's written in another language. So we'll just put that over there. And, let's see. We're reading an article here about milk now from Giving and Sharing. And this is on their zip downloadable files. So I hope you can do that on your computer. And it's called Healthy, or Health Foods. It's also from a big book that you can get on the internet there from givingandsharing.org or giveshare.org. You can get it for free, probably. What does the scripture say about milk products? It mentions butter made from cows, milk of sheep in Deuteronomy 32:14. Goat's milk is especially prized, Proverbs 27:26. Milk is a very mild substance as opposed to meat, 1 Peter 2:2, 1 Corinthians 3:2, Hebrews 5:12. And this brings us to the controversial subject that of eating milk and meat together in Exodus 23:19 and 34:26. And Deuteronomy 14:21, tell us to not see the kid in his mother's milk. This could mean not to eat a kid or a goat that is still nursing its mother. This is probably the true meaning, for in Genesis 18:8 we find that Abraham took butter and milk and a calf to feed the eternal. The scripture shows the cow's milk is made into butter, Isaiah 7:21, or into cheese, 2 Samuel 17:29. Samuel 17:18. Goat's milk has unusual properties, making it easy to digest, even curing some stomach ulcers. Cheese from cow's milk is quite often made from pork rennet, so be sure of what you are getting, that there be a kosher mark on there that has been certified that it's kosher. Our society has an aversion for good things. The way most people eat, our country could be described as a land of soda pop and candy. And my sister-in-law died in her 40s due to having been raised on potato chips and soda pop for breakfast. My wife died at 58, about a couple of years ago now, around Thanksgiving time. And he talks about keeping the Sabbath, to give another key to health, keeping the Sabbath. In this world of turmoil, nervous tension, and striving to make a living 24/7, you need a haven of rest. The Sabbath can be a time of spiritual and physical rejuvenation, so we can be recharged and ready to tackle the responsibility of life for the rest of life. Properly kept, the Sabbath is essential to your spiritual and physical health. And the scripture is the way of life. It affects what we do, what we say, think, wear, and eat. And what a blessing to have found out almost too late here, even for yours truly, that these products here can be dangerous. We got to look out for what we grab off the shelf. And there's such wonderful herbs out there, and the scripture discusses foods such as cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic in Numbers, in the book of Numbers 11:5. Ingredients such as myrrh, aloe, spices, and so much more. We can use these scripture foods to our benefit, learn more about the body and the temple of the spirit, and treat it with respect and teach others. Teach others, especially if you're an elderly woman, to teach the younger women how to obey Yahweh, how to obey Yahweh. Oh, praise His name, praise His excellent, esteemable name, the Almighty One, the Almighty, Almighty Father. Praise His name. In Japan, the sources of infections are traced to the flesh of pigs, bears, horses, raccoons, and foxes. The cause of infections is traced to these unclean animals, including pigs. They're listed in Scripture as putrid, or unclean, found in Deuteronomy. Let's see, I'm going to go to a different, off of giveshare.org here. Biblical law on page 50. Religious laws, clean and unclean meat in Leviticus 11:2, Deuteronomy 14. Forbidden foods, fat and blood in Leviticus 17:10. Now the first reference was Leviticus 11:2 to 31. This is fat and blood to be not ingested, Leviticus 17:10. So we need to get that blood out of any of our animal products. Also forbidden foods, flesh torn by beasts in Exodus 22:31. And the fruit of young trees are forbidden, Leviticus 19:23-25. Avoid unclean foods. Read the label on this health article. It is amazing the casual attitude some professed believers have about eating unclean meat products. One person was told the vitamin supplement for her child had fish oil, and that the odds were great that this meant shark oil rather than cod liver oil in the fish oil. She didn't seem to be too concerned about it. But it is called an abomination in Scripture. If we profess to live by every word of Yahweh and believe the Scriptures, clean and unclean, Leviticus 11, Deuteronomy 14. Let's be honest. Otherwise, why bother? Why bother? It takes diligence to obey Yahweh, to love Him. It takes diligence, really. It takes a heart. And don't play Russian roulette with our food intake. Read the label and know what you're eating. When it says made from animal shortening, or even vegetable shortening, lard or soy oil, don't eat it. Otherwise, you'll not only be breaking one health law, but that of not eating pork and fat. In Leviticus 11, Deuteronomy 14, and Leviticus 3:17. And does it all mean that when we're at somebody's house for food or in a restaurant that we should make a spectacle of ourselves? There's a way of being very discreet and finding out quietly what to avoid. Some Chinese or Mexican foods often contain unclean products, so one must be circumspect about that and careful. At a friend's home, simply avoid eating the questionable food, or if they're close friends, tell them very politely about your beliefs when you are invited. Of course, they might start arguing if they're an anti-law person, but, I just say, I don't know, Scripture says it's an abomination. Sorry. Go ahead. Bless this abominable food that you have created. No, you can't do that. Yahweh doesn't kosher up unclean food. But don't feel apprehensive and unable to enjoy yourself. If you find it has something unclean in it, simply avoid it and don't make an issue of it. If some people don't want to believe this, then that's their matter. And they may even point to 1 Timothy 4. Every creature is created by Yahweh and is set apart by the word of Yahweh. No, not every creature is set apart or made Kodesh. No. and by prayer. No, not by prayer either. But I'm not disagreeing with what Paul said here, but it's a misinterpretation of that 1 Timothy 4 that gets them into trouble and the abomination. We have to, first of all, go to the first place of mention about clean and unclean foods. Leviticus 11 would be one. And that's the word of Yahweh, the owner's manual. 1 Corinthians 10:23, whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. They use it to try to prove that we should not carefully examine what we ingest. After all, in public, it could be embarrassing. Well, we read Romans 1:16. It's easy to be careful about our food and in good taste without causing a scene if a person really wants to obey Yahweh. And when we pray after the eating of the food, some pray before, but I think Deuteronomy 6 is clear to pray after. We do not sanctify something, or make it pure, I should say, something that is impure. We can't set apart something that is not set apart. Remember back in the days of Noah that the unclean were loaded on the ark by twos, but the clean by sevens. If it had been the clean animals that they were possibly going to eat something there, and there were only twos, well, they'd take away the ability for the animals to reproduce, because there'd only be a male left or a female left. We come before Yahweh the Eternal, giving thanks for the good food He has given us. We must have done our part to ensure that it is healthy and nutritious, or our prayer is meaningless. Our prayer before, after meals, or both, is meaningless if it's not healthy and nutritious in the first place. We ask Yahweh the Eternal to do what we cannot do, to bestow His blessings and remove impurities and sinful impurities that we are unaware of or cannot do anything about. No, let's not be presumptuous and ask Yahweh to clean something that is obviously meant as a garbage collector on the earth. A lot of fish are good garbage collectors, unclean fish, that is. So it'll take diligence. Well, actually, some clean animals do eat unclean things, but it's their way of processing the food, such as the cow that has more than one stomach. It'll take diligence for a true believer to ensure that his diet or her diet is free of unclean foods. In every case, we must not offend others who have the same knowledge. Now, it doesn't mean that we're going to compromise and eat the abomination. Peter was able to say, Peter said in Acts 10, I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And he never did have that midnight snack in Peter's dream. No, it was to show that Yahweh has showed me that to not call any man common or unclean. So it didn't have anything to do about actually eating anything in this dream he had. And Daniel refused to defile himself with the king's meat and drink in Daniel 1:8. Ezekiel said that from his youth he had not polluted his soul with anything that died of itself or was torn in pieces or abominable flesh, Ezekiel 4:14. And how about me? Can I say this? How about you? Those who eat swine's flesh and abominable things pretend to be holy. I'll use their word. You know, they say they're holy, but they're headed to destruction. Isaiah 65 and 66. The scripture points out there the fact that a physical law can certainly have spiritual consequences. We need to be careful how we conduct ourselves. And let's feast on the bread of life, on Yahweh's good food. Swine are good incubators of toxic parasites and viruses, although the animal doesn't appear to be ill while carrying these diseases. A scientist at the University of Gissing's Institute showed in a study of worldwide influenza epidemics that pigs are the one animal that can serve as a mixing vessel for new influenza viruses that may seriously threaten health. If a pig is exposed to a human's DNA virus and then a bird's virus, a human and then a bird virus, the pig mixes the two viruses, developing a new DNA virus that is often extremely lethal for humans. These viruses have already caused worldwide epidemics and destruction. And I think that's from Cultivating a Killer Virus, National History, by Schlatisek, M.D. A 1942 yearbook of agriculture reported that 50 diseases were found in pigs. Many of these were passed on to humans by eating the pig flesh. Just the handling of swine has an element of risk. A large hog-raising facility in Wyoming requires its employees to wear gloves, masks, and protective clothing while working in the pig barns. Wear gloves and masks. The workers are required to shower each day before going home. They're required. Little wonder that Yahweh would inspire his prophet to include eating pork among the disobedient acts of stubborn people in addition to idolatry and conjuring spirits of the dead, a people who continually provoke Yahweh to his face, who eat the flesh of pigs and whose pots hold the broth of unclean meat. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 3 and 4. Isaiah 65. Just say no to swine's flesh. And a gentleman wrote an article here. He was not a messianic believer, but he says clone pigs could provide organs for transplants into humans. And there's a comment here. If pigs were an abomination in the ancient Jewish temple, how much more will they be an abomination being made a part of Yahweh's new covenant temple, your body? For this and many other reasons, I suspect Yahweh will pull down the curtain before then and say, no more, no more. Huh. Well, that's already happened, and the curtain is ready to fall. This tin turkey, America, is ready to crash and come down like a grand piano out of the sky, dropped out of an airline. Combining swine flesh with human flesh will not just be a spiritual abomination. There are also extreme concerns physically, no doubt, why Yahweh did not allow the eating of swine. Yahweh had this restriction about pigs only to protect those poor primitive Israelites from the deadly trichinella worms found in swine, but we modern sophisticated humans are so smart that we do not have to have this problem because we have refrigeration. No, it's not the conditions around us that interprets Yahweh's law. If he says, don't do it, we better not do it. We better do what Yahweh says. But Gordon S. Tesler, Dr. Gordon, says in the Genesis Diet, in his thesis, he says, obviously the indiscriminate eating patterns of omnivores like pigs make them disease carriers. Pigs are known to carry up to 200 diseases and 18 different parasites and worms. And then he goes into all kinds of problems here, diseases, and can cripple or even kill anyone that eats a little as a forkful of contaminated food. Trichinosis can mimic other diseases, such as arthritis, rheumatism, or typhoid fever. Dr. Tesler says that even cooking does not kill the trichinae worm. And, you know, we could go on and on about the amount of problems that it causes, but if Yahweh says, don't do it, then we should not do it. That's just where I stand. I don't need to read up about, you know, how bad things are out there in the markets. They're bad enough. So that's enough for me. If Yahweh says abstain and not to eat it, then we're not to eat. But here's a gentleman that disagrees with Yahweh's law. Made this statement about Yahweh is not a mighty one, or a God of commandments. He is not a God of commandments, but of love. But if we see 1 John 5:2, we started off with that. That answers the question of what is love. It's keeping Yahweh's commandments. Well, in a certain aspect, we're not to legalistically just be a automaton, a computer, a box of screws, nuts, and bolts that walks around keeping Yahweh's commandments. And we don't have a heart. We don't have a heart of flesh. No, we need that heart of flesh in us. Ezekiel 36. John chapter 10, verse 37, our Messiah says, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. Also read John 14, 21. Another absurd statement that Mr. Kilpatrick makes is that Yahweh, he says God, wants us to obey him, not his law. Well, that's certainly a contradiction there, that Yahweh wants us to obey him, but not his law, not him, not his word. I can't go along with that.
That's the way the Father is with us. That's why he always is saying us, look at the lilies. Not because he wants us to look at flowers, but he wants us to obey him rather than his laws. He wants to reshape our conceptions and our misconceptions about how much he loves us.
Yahweh wants to free us from breaking his law. He wants to keep us and wrought his spirit in us, to work in us, to will and to do of his good pleasure. And looking up to him, the author and the finisher of our faith. In Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Messiah. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Yahwehhead bodily. That's in Colossians chapter 2. And then to Isaiah 11, we're talking about going from the topic of the clean and unclean, probably for the rest of the program here, the rest of the podcast, and into a little bit about how the Jews were miraculously delivered in that that time of what they celebrate as Hanukkah. Yes, the Maccabees king there, and all were able, through the power of Yahweh, miraculous things have happened. Miraculous things will happen to you. Good things will happen to you, miraculous good things, if you obey and keep Yahweh's word. We're told over and over and over. No one who has been to an evangelical cemetery, or seminary, I should say, can lie to us and try to defraud us from our heritage, our righteous heritage that has been given to us by Yahweh, our Eternal One, by the Most High, through His Son. It says in Isaiah 11, let us praise Him because He has kept the enemy from us. That is, he'll keep the enemy from us if we obey his commands. If we disobey his commands, then he'll turn the enemies toward us and cause them to devour us and eat us up and chew us up, spit us out. Isaiah 11:14. But they shall fly upon the shoulders, and that's the power of Yahweh, I assume here, yes, the nations that are against the evil ones. So we have Yehuda here mentioned in the previous verse. Even Ephraim, that Judah shall not vex Ephraim, but they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. So Judah and Ephraim will not fight one another, but they'll fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines. They shall spoil them at the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And Yahweh shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea. And with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dryshod. And there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. This victory Yahweh gives us, for those who are obedient anyway, to his beloved children, reminds me of the Israelites there in the recent war here. 35 years ago, the war of 1967 in Israel, the Great War. Oh, what a mighty victory. Yahweh conquered the enemy with just a few people. That's what he always does. The next chapter now, Isaiah, Yeshayahu. This song Isaiah is singing, Isaiah is singing. In that day shall they say, O Yah, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, Yahweh is my salvation, and I will trust and not be afraid. For Yahweh, Yahovah, it says here in the King James, is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. By the way, that Yahovah was not spelled with the corrupted 1942 word in there, the Hebrew word in the concordance. They were not using 1942, which means ruin. They were spelling it YHVH, the Tetragrammaton, and there's no perversion in that at all. That's clear. That's Yahweh's name. YHVH is his name. Pronounce Yahweh or Yahweh. Some have a variation of pronunciation on that, but if they spell it right, I'm comfortable with that. I praise Yahweh for that. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Oh, we want that pure water from Yahweh. In that day shall you say, praise Yahweh, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto Yahweh, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Pure One of Israel in the midst of thee. Yah, or Yahu, is to be exalted above all. Trust in Yahweh. Here's another one of praise in giving and sharings. Study number 42, and they mention the great victory, the most stupendous public miracle in the sight of the heathens, occurred Pharaoh's horsemen and chariots had been drowned in the sea while Israel had previously passed through the Red Sea on dry ground in safety. Exodus 14. Israel was free once and for all from Egyptian bondage. Did Moses and Israel offer an offering or a prayer? Moses led the children of Israel in a great song of praise to the Eternal. Miriam led the women in a beautiful, joyous chorus in Exodus 15. That part of Moses' song, verse 2. Yahweh is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my Yah. I will prepare him in habitation, my father's Yah, and I will exalt him. That's Exodus 15, 2. Yahweh is our strength, our song, our salvation. Psalm 118, verses 14, 15. He is the source of our strength, our salvation, and praises to him. In song, in our songs of praise, we're acting out and experiencing his strength, his salvation. The Eternal is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. We sang in Isaiah chapter 12, the mighty one of my mercy. Psalm 59, Yahweh is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yahweh is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Because he is my strength and shield, I will greatly rejoice. And with my song will I praise him. Psalm 28, verse 7. Because he is my strength and shield, I will greatly rejoice, and with my song will I praise him. So even in our darkest depths, what we think we've lost the battle, Yahweh has won the victory, and we should praise him in our song. Psalm 27, verse 6. I will offer in his tabernacle offerings of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto Yahweh. Because Yahweh is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Psalm 18. Yahweh is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Habakkuk 3. I will rejoice in Yahweh, the mighty one of my salvation. We live in a strange, freaky, weird, crazy, mixed up culture. A somber world without much real joy. Oh, they've got the temporary joy of the heathen season upon us here. Around the end of the Roman year. But, you know, I think that even pales in comparison, doesn't it, to all of Yahweh's feasts. Of course it does. Even it pales in comparison to Hanukkah, a great time of 8 day of, that's not in the scriptures, but it is a time of traditional giving of thanks and praise and esteem where it belongs to Yahweh the Eternal, who is our conqueror. He has won the victory. And he has conquered Satan and all those temptations and things that we are naturally prone to fall into. He's given us the power to resist that by the power of his Son and the power of the Spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh. And that the Scripture is full of admonitions for us to sing to the Eternal. He has become our strength and salvation, or our deliverance. Let us learn the Scripture lesson of song, not being like Israel at times, some of them, who sang his praise and soon forgot his works. Psalm 106, 12, 13. So many victories were made, so many miracles were done in our life, and then something comes along, and then things began to go downhill and decay and degenerate, you know. But that doesn't change the fact that the miracle was done, that a great miracle was done in our life when our daughter was born back in the early part of the 80s, and many fantastic miracles. We couldn't even have children, and yet, I don't know if it was a half a dozen miracles that happened within a short period, within the 9 months there. And that's just so awesome that Yahweh would do those things, even for us. Who were we? We didn't even know his separated name yet. We were still keeping the first day of the week at that time. We knew how to do this spiritual warfare. Yes, yeah, maybe we knew how to do that, but not as effectively as we do today, using his true name. Oh, the name of Yahweh, the King of Kings, and the name of his Son, Yahusha, the Eternal. And Yahusha, like Joshua, only Yasha, or Yahusha. And he put this love in our hearts. Oh, a great yearning for him. And yet, culture is out there on the other side trying to get us to get farther and farther away from Father's laws and his way of living as Halakha. And then they give us these country songs. All my exes, or ex-wives, all my exes live in Texas. That's why I hang my hat in Tennessee. That goes the country western song, a classic statement. Now, I'm getting into culture here for a bit. A classic statement of one's failure in that song to face up to personal responsibility for our past sins. We need to repent of adultery to not try to glory in it. And the man in that song, All My Exes Live in Texas, has a responsibility to quit committing adultery and a further responsibility to offer financial support for the women whose lives he has ruined by his loose behavior. Ah, but he refuses to face his past, running away to Tennessee. Well, I don't have that kind of an excuse to run away to Tennessee. I'd like to run there for the feast day, for the Feast of Tabernacles, but it wouldn't be because of some illicit relationship that I had with some woman. It's never happened. I pray it never will. And then the saying, trust me, it won't hurt. That could be a big lie when someone says, trust me, it won't hurt. They are enticing us, perhaps, to do evil and trying to get us to forget about our conscience, about Yahweh's word. And when you know what they're wanting you to do is wrong, you don't just give in to such temptation. Kind of getting a different track there, but I was just leading into the subject of defrauding that a very good friend of mine and loved brother married this woman, and on the day of the wedding, she turned into a shrew, and then she carried that all the way through life, and I think she defrauded him for 30 years. There was a lot of struggle going on, and neither party was perfect, the husband nor the wife. They weren't perfect, of course. Nobody is. But it was a time of defrauding, staying away from the commitment and the covenant that they had made, and trying to mislead somebody. In Webster's dictionary, we have that here for you. I'm trying to look it up here. The term debauchery, for example, is to corrupt somebody morally. And then I have two references for that, of course. Leviticus 19 and 1 Thessalonians 4:6. So as I thumb through here, I'll probably rattle off my email address and may leave that in the podcast. It's my email is stephanyah@yahweh.name. Now I've arrived at 1 Thessalonians 4:6. Oh, wow. How about this start from the beginning there again? Furthermore, then you beseech, we beseech, brethren, and exhort you by, it says L-O-R-D, or okay, we'll change that to the Master, Master Yahusha, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and so to please Yahweh. You ought to walk and please Yahweh, so you would abound more and more. Chuck Swindoll, the evangelist, said on radio that we can't please him no matter what we do, but it says it's impossible to please him unless we keep his commandments. For we know what commandments we gave you by the Master Yahusha, for this is the will of Yahweh, even your sanctification, or your being set apart would be much better, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not Yah. Let no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Master Yahweh is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For Yah has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto being separated, being pure. He therefore that despises not man, but he despises Yahweh, who has also given us his separated spirit. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of Yahweh to love one another. So you could change the genders in verse 6 there. Instead of using the masculine, we could use the female, or the feminine, that no man, no woman go beyond and defraud her sister or her brother in any matter, because that Yahweh is the avenger of all such. So that no woman or no girl go beyond and defraud her man in any matter. How about that? Or any man defrauding the woman, for that matter. It could work either way, or sometimes both ways. And I don't know if that's grounds for separation or not. I don't know that for sure. But it sure seemed to me like my friend there should have considered that this woman that he thought he loved, she was taking advantage of him, and she should have seen that. He should have seen that from the beginning, and should not have gone through with a wedding, and struggled through all those years. If he could have been sensitive enough to pick that up right away, that there is some problem with her, and that even though there is 100 people waiting out there, and the congregation waiting for the wedding to start, that they should have reconsidered their. Think of a life of arguing and. You know, bad things could happen. Leviticus 19:13, thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor. So we could put, thou shalt not defraud thy man, or thy good friend, thy lady woman. Neither rob him, or rob her. The wages of him that is hired not, abide with thee all night until the morning. 15, you shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Thou shalt judge thy neighbor, it says here. 17, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor, and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am Yahweh. You shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind. Thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed. Neither shall a garment mingled of linen and woolen come upon thee. Of linen and woolen come upon thee. That's all in Leviticus 19 and much more. There that Yahweh put this love in our heart to love, honor, and obey. For the woman to obey her husband. Love and honor, and for all of us to love one another. For the husband certainly to... And the very deep meaning of the word love, to love her and lay down his life for her. And, this continual sparring of trying to, the fighting and all of that should not go on. It has to be discussed and brought it out. Let's go into separate rooms and cool off and read the word and pray. But then we should come back, and then we're not just going to make up. Let's talk about it and bring it out into the open, and not fraud one another or defraud, and to cheat or to swindle. The definition there in Webster's of defrauding is to cheat or swindle. I think you could go a lot deeper into that word defraud. And then the word fraud, a deliberate and willful deception perpetrated for an unlawful gain. So I think that would be the case of my friend there and my sister-in-law. Deliberate and willful deception. Then finishing up with the idea of eating something good. Yahweh would bless us if we would find a diet of herbs, I think, of meat, and may not be so good for us these days. But the herbs are, cereal grains are a good basic herb, the plant-bearing seed. So just as grass was made for cattle, so herbs were made for the service of man. Psalm 104, 14. Oils, such as those made from olives, sunflowers, and corn, make our faces to shine in health. The life-giving herbs mentioned in the scripture are not the quick-fed, artificially fertilized, sprayed, processed, and packaged vegetables that are eaten by our modern civilization. No, it's not that that we want to consume and, you know, just put this formaldehyde into our bodies, as it were. But they are the crops that we need. Now, the crops grown on healthy soil, eaten raw or lightly steamed, properly processed, if at all processed. Scriptural herbs are also the plants that one gathers from the mountains, Proverbs 27:25. Most people today are either too busy to or too lazy to gather crops from the countryside or to plant their own. Proverbs 10:5, being too lazy. Consumption of commercially processed fruit and vegetables of commercially processed has gone up in the U.S., while the consumption of fresh vegetables and fruit has gone down. The unconcerned person pays to let someone else make a profit off an inferior product, rather than gather his own or our own food. As we sow in our bodies, so shall we reap. So that's an article from Health, and it's that's about a 100-page article you can download there. And that's from giveshare.org, and from their zip downloads, from scripture studies and zip downloads, I think is how I got there. Let's see if I can find another URL for you. I don't think so. Let's see. Over here? No, I can't find it either there. Thank you for joining me today on YahvahYahweh.name. I'm Stephan Yah. And let's see, the original article was to eat clean and to abstain and refrain from unclean foods. But we got off onto, thankfully, onto another subject, and then another one after that. A few good trails to take off on. We need to have a variety of teaching in our life, not just one thing. But, you know, if it's hard to concentrate, then I guess it should just be, you know, just on one subject. But I can't do that. I like to toss in a great variety of Yahweh's blessing here, talk about his creation, and that he didn't just create the nose on my face, and then on another person, he put it on their kneecap or on a dog, you know, a dog's, whatever, a kneecap, a joint there on their leg. No, he created every nose that smells on their face, where it's all connected up properly with all the wires and the tubes and everything that it should be, and it all works. Works pretty good for most of us anyway. So praise him for that. I thank Yahweh for creating beauty around us. Today the birds are coming in and hounding me, or whatever a bird does, to try to get me to feed them some more. I keep feeding them, and then they want some more food, and another cup and another cup, and I don't have that much money to, you know, feed them $20 of food a week. They want that bird seed. Well, there's tons of snow that just fell. An unusual thing here for this part of the Northwest, but it's beautiful. It's flocking the trees with thick powder, and snow is really easy to shovel and to walk in and clown around in. The dog goes out there. A couple of those dogs get around in the field and just make some tracks and chase each other and roll and play in that snow. They love that kind of thing, as most animals do, even the bear, as you know, we've seen in some of those nature videos, those some pretty good ones there about nature. Praise Yah. So thanks again, and be talking to you soon. Hope to hear any of your comments. If there's anything I need to address, or a different way of presenting this material, perhaps. I hope I've touched hearts today, and the Spirit of Yahweh has certainly done that with me, as I've been contemplating Scripture and Yahweh's pure, separated, undefiled, inspired Word. And that was that, and at that from the King James, which was a good version. And from the best scrolls available, the Antioch Scrolls. And even today, they're still the best available. Praise Yah. Have a good day. Praise Yahweh in your hearts. Give him your esteem. Thank him for everything that he has provided. The fresh air. Your health, even if you don't have all perfect health, thank him for the part of you that does have the good health. And the part of your home that does have the good things happening around there. You don't you don't have mice running around or dangerous insects or snakes or something in your house or your tent. Well, praise Yahweh for that today. And for the power of the Ruach HaKadosh to change our lives, to transform us into the image and likeness of Yahweh himself. Praise Yahweh today. Praise his name. Esteem his name on high. We shall see him soon. As we hope to see each other too, our loved ones, and get to know each other, for those of us strangers. And we can testify of Yahweh's mighty works in us and the good things that he has done here in the future. And tabernacling with us in the future on the high third heaven and the new Jerusalem to come. And cogitate on his word. Oh, praise Yahweh. Bless his pure name. Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahusha, his son. And most of all, lift up Father in our tabernacles today. Bless you, Yah. Praise you. Thanks for the snow.